Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What is up, party people? Happy Friday. Our military is doing military stuff. Apparently, there's an escalation of tension after this whole thing with Iran, the sanctions. I am not a, if you listen to the program, God bless you. Thanks so much. I'm glad somebody does. My mom doesn't listen. Is that weird? She's not. We are not a close people. But Chad, I love her, but you know, I don't have time. I'm not good on the computer. You know how it is. I'm like, no, but whatever. People who worry, and I get at least three or four of these conspiracy theorist things a day where people send me stuff. In this, do you think this is going to happen? Do you think that is going to happen? And today we put sanctions on Iran. We upped the ante because Iran was being, what were they being, Mr. President? I'm trying to throw it around. I wonder what Iran was being.
They're not behaving.
They're not behaving, according to our dear leader. And people worry, like, what are they going to, nothing. Talking ads on TV or talking about, nothing is going to happen. Iran has... While many of these countries can get people who've got nothing going on in their life, who are pissed off and angry at the world, to blow themselves up in a mall somewhere or to go in and to shoot a bunch of people, the people that are higher up, they know that it's a no-win situation. You're going to lose. That's it. You're going to lose. They're a thorn in our side, and that's all they're ever going to be. Iran is not going to go nuclear and fire a ballistic missile. We're not going to line up on their, and man our military up on there. It's not going to happen. It isn't. And if you're worried about that, but Chad, no. There's nothing to worry about. I'm here to tell you it's not going to happen. Are they bad actors? Yes. Are they a criminal regime? Yes. Do most of the people in Iran follow suit in the belief that they all hate Jews because our leaders hate Jews and that they hate America? No. They don't. Are there a lot of people there that do? Yes. But you know what? The average person in Tehran probably is trying to do like the average person in Mexico City or the average person in Los Angeles or New York or Chicago or Orlando or San Antonio or else, which is work and have a job and, you know, have a family and take care of their bills and have a life. Are there extremists there? Yes. Are they a larger, you know, minority of the people? You know, they're not the majority, but they're a good chunk of the minority. Yes, there is. But the thought process that Iran is going to come after us and they're firing off, this is the smart thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And they could talk about, you know, it's escalating. It's not escalating. It sounds like it's escalating because we're putting sanctions and we're ginning up to try to show them, look, that you don't want any part of this. And this guy here in the White House, he's not the guy you want to screw with. Last guy, new guy. Old guy, new guy. Old guy. He drew a line and everybody walked over across it and he was like, ha, but think about that. New guy, he drew a line and then he jumped over to the other side and attacks you. So we're just letting you know where you stand in this situation. Letting you get a feel for the situation. That's it. Also today, Trump is, he's being Trump. He is, man. He's working. Say what you want about the guy. He's a workhorse. He really is. I mean, he's going at some of these people around him. They look exhausted already. They're 2 weeks into this gig, and they look exhausted. Like they're they've just sucked down a bunch of Dramamine, and they're holding on for dear life because it is a rocky ride. But more things signed today. He's taking on religious freedom now. And whether or not you have the right to, you know, and this is where the LGBT community is worried that, you know, that they're going to be, wrongfully singled out in a situation like this, especially when it comes to, you know, and we all go back to the famous, you know, cake maker or candlestick maker, or, you know, we go back to those things. And he's, you know, he's trying to appease everybody. As what we know in life is, when you try to please everybody, you usually please nobody. But there's usually a happy medium. So he's going to, that'll make the right happy. He's talking about taking on Dodd-Frank and rolling back some of the regulations for the banking industry. We'll see how that goes. Elizabeth Warren and what's his name? Frank. Mr. Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders. No, it was Frank too, right? Yeah, that Frank guy. I forgot his name. What the hell's his name? Barney Frank. That's right. You know, but Sanders and Warren are like the kings of this thing, and they just never let it go. Elizabeth Warren wants to be a banking regulation. She doesn't want to be an Indian. She wants to be a banking regulation. That's what she's going for Halloween next year. They're going to give him a fight. I saw that Bernie Sanders is going to be on. I told Phil this earlier. He's going to be on because everybody gets their own town hall. But apparently these two guys, it's either they're not big enough, but I think it is. It's because it's a bigger fight, right? I think that's what it is. And I look, as much as I like Bernie, and I think Bernie's a funny guy, he scares me, and I didn't want him to be, you know, president of the United States, and I didn't buy into a lot of his politics, but I think he's... You met him, what, 2 weeks ago, right, Phil?
Yeah, he was at the gate next to me flying, of course, American Airlines.
Of course he is. A good guy, though. So, but Wednesday, Ted Cruz and him are going to square off in a town hall, and I will say this. If there's one person I don't want to square off to when it comes to certain things, it's Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is the smartest of everybody probably in Washington, especially when it comes to the Constitution, laws, and things like that. You know, Obamacare, any of this stuff. You know, and that's what they're going to be doing. He is going to, because you know what Bernie's going to say? We need to have it needs to be one of these things where we go there and we have a single-payer system like the rest of the world. And that's what he's going to say. And then Ted Cruz is going to come out and talk about, you know, he's going to tear it apart from top to bottom, talk about the expense and how do you pay for it. Because everybody goes... You know, as much as the right gets lambasted, as they should, for not having the replacement ready, and they had 8 years, whenever I ask somebody on the left how we're going to pay for a single-payer system, nobody has any answer for me. Nobody has any answer for me. Zero answers. Both of them have no answers. They're ill-prepared for answers. But it'll be funny to watch them take to the podiums and battle one another. It's very interesting. The whole thing's very interesting. Just watching the shakedown and the breakdown of the political system right now and the breadth of which Donald Trump is taking on everybody and getting things done, that is refreshing. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't agree with everything he's doing, but it is refreshing to watch him attack this in a very serious way and go after the things he said he was going to do. And I think that's what shocked a lot of people. Well, I didn't know he's really going to do it. But there's going to come a point in time where there's only so many executive orders you're going to be able to issue. Because remember, Congress is the equal branch, and they want to be equal. And many times they look at themselves as, especially to this president, as superior. Because we've been here for a long time. We've been here for a long time. We're going to be here for a little bit longer. But what he's doing and the way he's attacking it, I admire that. Not a big fan of a lot of the stuff he's doing at times. And I'm not just talking about executive orders. I'm fine with some of those. It's the way some of it is going about. And can somebody get him a damn secured phone? We bitched about Hillary Clinton and all the unsecured stuff she has. Can somebody get his ass a secured phone, please? Because I'm going to throw it right back at you. Somebody get him a secured phone. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Oh, yeah, the Republicans are getting kind of skeptical about the cost of the wall, and he's not getting a lot of love from the Republicans. In fact, right now they're talking about 60% of them are thinking, nah, this isn't going to work, especially at the cost that you're looking at. We'll see what happens, but he's going to have battles. He's going to have battles everywhere. You can go to the Chad Benson Show site, ChadBensonShow.com. You can download the podcast. Participate in our polls every single day. We've got a bunch of polls that we put up there throughout the day. The one that I'm enjoying isn't a Super Bowl-related one. We'll probably get one of those up in a little while. Jason Page is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, talk about Super Bowl. But if you could break one law and get away with it, what would it be? 9% say murder. Finally, somebody was honest. 82% say bank robbery. 5% says blackmail. 4% says car theft. But you got to think wise about car theft. Because when you think car theft, you're not stealing an Accord. If you're going to steal a car, you're stealing a Bentley. You're stealing a Lamborghini. You're stealing a Ferrari. You're stealing a, you know, one of those one-off, you know, Mercedes where they only make four. That's what you're stealing. Don't think big picture. Blackmail, think big picture. You go in and rob a bank, you get $50,000 maybe. You blackmail somebody for $5 or $10 million. What? Think big picture, people. That's what I'm saying. Think big picture. You tweet the show. You can text me as well. 323-538-2423. What's next is next.
This is going to be easy. Let's see. What's next?
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next, kids? We do it every day at this time. The solemn, somber day. As we try to find out what's next for the people of Bowling Green after their massacre. You didn't hear? None of you heard about the massacre? Well, Kellyanne Conway told us there was a massacre. Kelly, isn't that correct? Just wondering. I'm just wondering, Kelly, is it correct? Did Bowling Green suffer a tragic loss?
I bet it's brand new information to people that President Obama had a 6-month ban on the Iraqi refugee program after two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized, and they were the masterminds behind the Bowling Green massacre. Most people don't know that because it didn't get covered.
Because it didn't happen. See, we cover stuff that happens. When it doesn't happen, we don't cover it. That's fake news, right? You know who was at Bowling Green? Who was the lead anchor? Brian Williams. He was there. He was the lead anchor there. Hillary jumped out of the helicopter. She went into one of those sweet tuck and rolls that they were firing at her. She saved Brian Williams. And he prevented the massacre from happening. Or none of it happened. What actually happened was two Al-Qaeda members, terrorists from Iraq, were found to be living in refugees in Bowling Green. In court, they later admit they had attacked the U.S. soldiers in Iraq, several of them. And the two men were arrested. They're now in prison. It was a saga that played out in this small Kentucky town. No bloodshed, no massacre, no destruction, no death, no nothing. She got very excited about the massacre that never happened. And you know what's crazy? This is what's crazy. You know who's going to buy into this? You know the conspiracy theorists are going to buy. I knew something happened in Bowling Green. I knew something happened there. I knew it did. The government's keeping it from us. The government's always hiding stuff. The government's evil. They brought down the Twin Towers. They did it themselves. George Bush was flying the first plane. It's what's going to happen. I guarantee you it is what's going to happen. People out there are just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and they're going to buy completely into this crap. 110%. Poor Kellyanne Conway. She's been trying to backpedal this thing off now. She said, I misspoke. Well, I think you did. I don't think she... Look, if you talk for a living all day, and these people do, they get interviewed. Kellyanne Conway must do what? 15, 20 interviews a day on average, probably? You're going to make a mistake here or there. Now, sometimes it's a mistake on a small radio station. Sometimes it's a mistake on a, you know, on a regional, you know, or cable news network. But there's a panel and something slips out. This was Chris Matthews. This was a little bit bigger than that. But it, luckily, it's on MSNBC. So a lot of people are watching. And, you know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to slip up. It happens. I do it. Everybody does it. Those who say they don't do it, they're liars. That's their slip up, is they're lying to you, because it does happen. You get your messages confused and you get your, you know, sometimes your dates confused and stuff like that. There was no massacre, though. Bowling Green survived. They will rebuild because there was nothing to rebuild. That's what's next for Bowling Green. You know, Super Bowl is Sunday. People get excited about the Super Bowl, as you should. Falcons, Patriots. We're going to talk to Jason Page here in a little bit. We're going to talk to him about just everything when it comes to it. Break down the game from top to bottom. I'm going to give it to you like you've not gotten it before. That's how crazy this thing is going to be, how we give it. We break it down. We break it up. We break it sideways. We break it so much that you can't even put it back together. That's how much we break it down for you. But there is another game that is taking place on Sunday. Another game that is huge. Another game. It's the Puppy Bowl. The Puppy Bowl. The 13th Puppy Bowl. Are you excited about the Puppy Bowl? I'm a little excited about the Puppy Bowl. I'm not going to lie to you. Goes to commercial once in a while. I'll flip over and see what's going on in the Puppy Bowl. How big's the Puppy Bowl? Non-Super Bowl. Non-Super Bowl related. So Super Bowl's going to win. Obviously, we know what Nielsen's going to have. Number one is going to be the Super Bowl. But number one spot in cable ratings, excluding the Super Bowl Sunday stuff, is the Puppy Bowl. The network was second overall in Animal Planet, 25-54. It's a demographic from 3 to 5 last year. Here's the thing. It was crazy, right? Outside of Super Bowl tweets, it was the number one tweeted thing, and it had 17 million fans talking about it, including 10 unique U.S. worldwide trending topics. It's now part of culture. And guess what else is second behind it? The Kitty Bowl. Yeah, because who doesn't like cats and kittens? They're great. The Puppy Bowl, the Kitty Bowl, they got it dominated. If you're not going to watch the Super Bowl, you're watching those bowls. That's what I'm telling you. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program. Love when you do. 323-538-2423. Speaking of Super Bowl, Michael Vick retires. Not at the Puppy Bowl, by the way. It's Michael Vick. Not at the Puppy Bowl. Oh, Chad, you are a jerk. And boom, drop the microphone. Jason Page is going to join us next. Well, he's a sports host, formerly of NBC. We're going to talk about, yeah, I don't know, this little game called cricket. No, wait, Super Bowl. Super Bowl. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
One of the things that I heard this morning in watching the news was that, amazingly, it's never happened before, that politics has become a much bigger subject than the Super Bowl.
I think that's all your fault there, Trump. We'll find out on Sunday what you'll do at halftime to tweet something, I'm sure, about Lady Gaga that will make it all about you. It is the Chad Benson Show. Joining us now, sports radio personality Jason Page. Jason, there's some truth in what Trump is saying, though, especially in some ways, even this Super Bowl, because you got somebody like Belichick and Brady of the Patriots who are friends with the Donald.
Yeah, no, they absolutely are. And it's kind of funny you mentioned the Donald Trump thing, because I was planning on getting into that when we get into our conversation here. But so many different angles to attack from really the entire day, from the Donald Trump interview that'll happen with Bill O'Reilly during the broadcast. And then obviously so much to get into in terms of what happens in this game, Chad. I think it's going to be a great game. I really do.
You know, it is one of these ones where you're not paying a lot of attention. You know, this week comparatively to other weeks, there doesn't seem to be that America's captivated by this. I think if anything, America's wants the Patriots to lose, as we've seen in many different polls. But Sunday's going to come, and then America is going to focus on this. And it, because it's been so quiet, I just have a sense that we're going to get a game here that could potentially be one for the ages.
The NFL needs it, Chad, because this has been, with the exception of the Packers and the Cowboys, this has been a brutal postseason. And frankly, it's been a brutal NFL season. This could be a major tipping point for this league if they get a crap Super Bowl game. If this thing goes south, this could be a real turning point for this league. I know it's still making tons of money, but the popularity this year has definitely taken a hit with the length of the football games, the constant penalties, the clunkiness of the game. This has been a rough year for the NFL, so they really need a classic. I think you're going to get it. I think you're going to get a high-scoring game. I think if it's a high-scoring game, the Falcons win a close one. If it's a low-scoring game and it goes under the projected total of, I don't know what it is now, 56.5, something like that, if it goes under that total, I think the Patriots win. But I do think you're going to get a very compelling game.
Talking to Jason Page, sports personality and a writer who is talking to us today about the Super Bowl. Let's break it down first and foremost. You got the Atlanta Falcons in there, Matty Ice, and probably the best receiver in football that nobody knows, but is probably the best receiver in football in Julio Jones, and he's not a diva. They're a quiet, nobody thought it was going to be here. They're led by a coach that, you know, what has he been in, two of the last three Super Bowls with the Seahawks, and here is a guy that is, this is a team that snuck under the radar for the fans, but a lot of people thought, you know, this team's for real.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't think Atlanta was ever going to be tough enough. I mean, that was the big gripe with this club under Mike Smith when he was coaching the team. And what an indictment, by the way, on Mike Smith. The fact that basically the same group of players, maybe with the exception of a Mohamed Sanu or somebody like that, basically the same group of players, Dan Quinn's come in here and been able to take that team to a Super Bowl where Mike Smith obviously struggled so much. I've never been I got to fall on my sword here a little bit. I've never thought you were going to win a Super Bowl with Matt Ryan as good as he was throughout the years. It's simply because I saw him falter in too many postseason games. And if you go look at his postseason numbers up until this postseason, he's really been a very ordinary quarterback when it comes to the postseason. Puts up great regular season numbers, but not a great postseason quarterback. And now he's really taken that next step forward. It's sort of like the Aaron Rodgers thing. You know, Aaron Rodgers with the Packers for a while, a lot of people would say, my good buddy Colin Coward would say it, Aaron Rodgers, great quarterback, but I don't think he's going to win you a Super Bowl. Well, then Aaron Rodgers went and won a Super Bowl, and as soon as you get over that hump, all of a sudden, now you're one of the greatest quarterbacks on the planet. Matt Ryan has a chance to take that step in this game on Sunday, and there's going to be several keys, Chad, I think, to whether or not they win this game. One of them, which I think has taken some people by surprise, is the injury to Alex Mack, this fibula injury that their offensive lineman Alex Mack has been dealing with that's really held him out of practice this week. And I thought with the 2 weeks recovery time, he was going to be good to go 100%. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Matt Ryan this year has only taken one snap under center without Alex Mack on the field. They need to have him out there and at 100% if they're going to win this game.
You move to the other side of the ball, Jason, and you've got the greatest duo probably in professional football history in Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And the controversy this week surrounding them, obviously the relationship with Trump. But Brady, there's extra here. You've got the opportunity to exact revenge in a lot of ways at the NFL and Goodell and the way they handled the Deflategate. But you've got also a person who is really gunning for. You get that fifth Super Bowl, I think the argument ends on who's the greatest quarterback of all time. I think it's already over. You've been to seven, but you get the fifth one. You're the GOAT. You're the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he's tied with Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw right now with four. He has the two MVPs. He's got the three Super Bowl MVPs, and now Tom Brady has his chance to put himself in a class really all by himself. We hear that term so many times in sports, but you really do have that opportunity for Tom Brady on Sunday. One of the things that amazes me about the Patriots this year, Chad, is, and really over the last couple of years, is how many times they've had Rob Gronkowski either miss games or miss prolonged periods. We're talking about arguably one of the best receivers in the game, whether you call him a tight end or a wide receiver, because he didn't do all that much blocking. If you're talking about one of the top receivers in the game, one of the most dominant forces in the game, and this guy leaves the lineup and they don't miss a beat. And it's happened so many times with this team. How many times, if A.J. Green is missing from the Cincinnati Bengals, if Antonio Brown is out of the lineup for the Steelers, the Patriots have been without Rob Gronkowski, they don't miss a beat. Whereas other teams, if they're missing that top receiver, you know they're going to be in some trouble. It's amazed me the way in which this team just next man up. Martellus Bennett has obviously done a good job in the receiving game. I look for him to do some things. And watch Deion Lewis. The Patriots have not lost a single game since Deion Lewis came to this team. And when he's healthy and in the lineup, They're very dangerous. He could do some things out of the backfield. They've got a lot of nice players, a lot of versatility in what they could do offensively. It's going to cause all sorts of problems for the Falcons on Sunday. Can I give you one? Do we have time? I want to give you one more key here in this game.
Yeah.
And it shifts back to the Falcons here, and it's Dan Quinn. In the AFC title game, Chad, the Steelers elected to kick a field goal late in the first half. A lot of people might remember they had the ball down at the one. They got pushed back to the two. They kicked the chip shot field goal, and they went into the half down, I don't know, 9, 10 points, something like that. One of the things I want to see is how aggressive Dan Quinn gets with the play calling. How much does he change his style? If in those situations, if early in the game he's got a 4th and 4 from the Patriots 40, does he say, yeah, you know what, we obviously can't kick a field goal, but we're not going to gain much in field position. Let's go for it here. I want to see Dan Quinn be aggressive with his play calling. When you've got arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the game in Matt Ryan, when you have a Julio Jones, you have a Devontae Freeman who can run the football, I want to see him get aggressive with the football, because one of the things we've seen for so many years against teams that play the Steelers, you kick field goals, they score touchdowns. And
yeah,
if that's the equation we see on Sunday, the Falcons can't win.
Talking to Jason Page, sports personality, as we break down the Super Bowl. I read today that 97% of the betting that goes on in this country in the Super Bowl is done illegally. But there are some fun bets out there you can do legally, because most of those bets aren't prop bets. And we got a lot of crazy prop bets out there.
Oh, love the prop bets. It's really my favorite thing. And it's one of those things that a lot of people listening to you may not be diehard sports fans. They might not be diehard football fans. The prop bets are the things you could do whether or not you're a huge fan. Here's one. Ready? I'm gonna throw a few out at you, and I want to hear what you think. How many times Trump will be said on TV during the game broadcast, from kickoff to final whistle? The over-under is 1.5. Where do you have it?
Oh, I got it above that. Absolutely.
No, see, I think Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are going to avoid that. I think maybe you get it once. I don't think that one goes over. I think they're going to try to avoid it.
You know why I think? Because Mike Pence is going to be there, and they'll be on the camera, will be on him 1 or 2 times, and because of that, there will be a Trump reference here or there. I think that's it. If people, if you're listening, you're looking for a prop bet, take the over on that one.
All right. What color will Lady Gaga's hair be when she comes on stage for the halftime show? Blonde is going off at 1-4. Any other color is going off at 5-2.
I'm going any other color. I'm thinking she may have multiple hair colors. She may have like blue and blonde. She may have red, white, and blue. She may have a rainbow hair. I mean, and is she going to make a political statement with her hair? Because you never know with her.
Oh, for sure. Well, I don't know about if she's going to make a political statement with her hair. She's going to make a political statement on stage for sure. How many times will Deflate or Deflategate be said on TV during the live broadcast? Again, kickoff to final whistle. Over 1.5 is even money. Under 1.5 is 5-7.
Oh, I got to go over. I mean, this is what this thing's about, right? Like, this is and you need to build the drama, and you've got all day to fill, and they're going to talk about it, and you're going to need stuff while the game's going on to talk about. And this is the revenge tour, and this is where it ends.
If you're a true degenerate like me, just do the coin toss. Just do the coin toss.
People don't know you can bet the coin toss.
Yes. You can bet the coin toss. I'm serious. Who do you think is going to win, Chad?
Well, you know what? I'm going to give my I'll give you guys my pick right now. I am a huge Patriots fan. I have I've always had a bromance with the Patriots, even when I was a kid. I fell in love with – I was a huge fan of Drew Bledsoe and Parcells when he was there. And then when they put him in, there was just something – you know, obviously, I just – it was amazing. But I am not one of those guys that rides – my favorite team. I don't let that override business, but I do think this year they're on a tear. I do think this year there's just something about them that is significant in the way they play. And Belichick going up in a situation like this, I would be foolish to say go for the Falcons. But the truth is, I think the Falcons are going to win.
Really?
I think the Falcons are going to win. I think Matty Ice is going to get it done. I think the Falcons are going to win. I think their defense is going to play good enough. And if Malcolm Butler doesn't get any help, Julio Jones is going to have 250 yards and four touchdowns.
Well, I'll tell you who to watch. If not Julio Jones, because if one thing we know, Bill Belichick's good at taking away your best player. He's done it so many times over the years. If they take away Julio Jones, I think the guy to watch in a big way is Mohamed Sanu.
Mohamed Sanu, yeah.
Watch Mohamed Sanu. He's a big, strong receiver, can go up there and get the football. I think Mohamed Sanu could have a huge day if the Patriots do sort of an overload and spend too much time focusing on Julio Jones. Watch Mohamed Sanu. My heart goes with the Falcons because I can't stand the Patriots. My head says it's got to be the Patriots winning this game.
All right, my man. His name is Jason Page. We appreciate you coming on. So you got the Patriots. I have the Falcons. I want the Patriots to win. I just have a feeling the Falcons are going to. I appreciate you coming on today, man. And I know you're playing hurt with your cold. Thanks again, and you have yourself a good one. Remember, you can go to his Twitter, at the back page. P-A-G-E. Simple and easy. Thanks so much, my man.
Chad, love you. Thanks, man.
It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what?
Oh, people texting me. People were mad at me because I made fun of the Kellyanne Conway thing. Can I just tell you something? First of all, laugh about it. Secondly, it actually plays into the ban that Trump has put out there. The Bowling Green massacre thing plays into it. And I'll tell you why. They call it the Kentucky case. And this is going to be cited when this thing gets in front of the Supreme Court, because now a new judge, federal judge, has upheld the ban. So now I guess the ban's has been lifted. It's confusing. So one judge said, nope, you know what? Trump's ban is legal. Another judge now is saying it's not legal. It's going to get to the Supreme Court. Here is where he has precedent on his side. 2011, case known as the Kentucky case, which were two Iraqi refugees who were living in Kentucky who were arrested for building roadside bombs in 2005. And they came in here as Iraqi refugees. So that's when Barack Obama wanted to do more vetting, or what they called, you know, some saw as extreme vetting, and it going to the Supreme Court, and they ruled it was on his side. Now, the religious test may come up. That's something wholly different. All right, that, but on his side, he's got precedent. And he's the president. He's you know, I mean, I know that sounds weird, but there is precedent inside of whether or not he is allowed to do this, and it has been upheld. Several legal scholars are saying it. So we'll see what happens. The constitutional test of religiosity, or the religious test, that's the thing that will be tested, if it is or isn't. Say what? I've had my stories about Bigfoot. I may save the Bigfoot thing for later. I may save it for later, because that way I could tell my Bigfoot story. Producer Phil, should I save it for later and tell the Bigfoot story?
Absolutely, you should.
All right. I'll tell my Bigfoot story, because I want to talk about this, this show coming out tomorrow. And so I'll save it for later, because I can tell my Bigfoot story. Because my Bigfoot story, I think, mirrors this guy's Bigfoot story. But we are in the wholly opposite world of Bigfoot, if you will, and the treatment of Bigfoot and what we want to do. Here's some more crazy facts about the old NFL game that have nothing to do with the actual game itself. 1 million people are expected to attend Super Bowl events in Houston. No way. Out-of-towners. So Super Bowl 50, 300,000 people showed up in San Francisco. Glendale, Arizona, 122,000 people. They expected about 140,000 people. That's huge. That's huge dip underneath there. But San Francisco, you know, it's a nice place, and it's a new stadium, and, you know, I think there was, you know, it was, I don't know why. Who knows why? Who knows why that is a huge gap like that? Plus, you have to also understand, what are the teams that are playing? Do their fans travel well? Do they? I have no idea. Number of rooms in the hotel. It's a brand new hotel. It's called the Marquis Marriott. There's 1,000 rooms, all of which are filled essentially by NFL employees. That's their headquarters for this. Additional volume of general aviation aircraft in Houston area for the Super Bowl, 85% of the aircraft, 1,300 planes coming in and out of there, 85% of them on a daily basis are going to be private jets, private aircraft. Speaking of private aircraft, or not private aircraft, producer Anthony says, Chad, you got to come over here, break, and take a look at this. He says, this is the height of insanity when it comes to money. Was it a Saudi prince? A Saudi prince on what looked to be a 747 jet, and every seat was filled with a Falcon. Not the team. A Falcon. A flying around Falcon with their little things so they're blinded so they can't take off. Every seat was filled by that. That is the height of insanity. That's money. Like, that's real money. Like, you make it rain for real. You can build a rain machine. We'll put that picture up. I thought it was amazing. There's a video of it, too. These birds are just looking around, thinking, what are we doing up here? The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text Dine Program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.